Chapter 2. As the prince's party approached the steps, Zoe stood on tiptoe to whisper into Millie's ear,
"You were right when you said he was handsome. He's even better looking than Leopold."
"Isn't he, though?" Millie said, admiring his long dark hair and chiseled features. She also liked the flag his squire carried, with the golden dragon emblazoned on its center.
"Greetings," said the prince as he dismounted. He handed his reins to his squire while eyeing Millie and Zoe. "Go fetch the princess and tell her that Prince Atworth has arrived."
Millie giggled and said,
"I'm Princess Millie."
Zoe poked her in the side and whispered,
"Did you just giggle? You never giggle."
"I know,"
Millie whispered back, giving her friend a confused look.
"I didn't mean to."
She glanced at Atworth and saw that he had swept off his cap in a courtly bow and was waiting for her to notice.
"You may rise, fair prince," Millie said as she held out her hand.
Atworth took 3 steps and enfolded her hand in his. She giggled again when he turned it over and kissed her palm. While the prince began to tell her how excited he was to meet her and how much he had been looking forward to his visit, Millie fought down a rising sense of panic. She thought the maids who flirted with squires looked brainless when they batted their eyelashes and giggled. The last thing she wanted to do was act the same way. Emma had stopped to send word to Edric and her parents that the prince had arrived, but she appeared now and nudged her daughter so that Millie's eyes lost their glazed expression. While the prince spoke to her mother, Millie fought the urge to giggle every time he looked her way. When he mentioned that he was hungry, Emma invited him to join them in a midday meal, even though it was still early.
"That sounds delightful," said Atworth, squeezing Millie's hand, which he still held in his.
A giggle erupted from Millie, making everyone, including the prince, look at her in surprise. Millie wanted to tell her mother about how she couldn't keep from giggling, but when Emma's glance met hers, she realized that her mother already knew. It had to be a side effect of the spell, and in a way, she thought it was worse than the last one. The swellings just made her look awful. Uncontrollable giggling made her look and feel like a fool. Millie was trying so hard not to giggle that she paid little attention to what Atworth was saying as they walked side by side to the great hall. Her grandparents and her father were already there when they arrived, and they greeted Atworth, gesturing for him to sit beside the old king. Limelin had always doted on his granddaughter, so he studied the prince with great interest. It was a simple meal of cheese, cold meat from the night before, fresh bread baked that morning, and berries from the castle's garden.
"This is delicious," said the prince as he helped himself to another slice of roast pork.
"Cook is saving the best food for the day after tomorrow," said Millie. "Everyone in the kitchen has been cooking all week for the party."
"You're having a party in my honor," said Atworth. "I'm surprised you have enough food."
Zoe frowned and leaned forward to see past Millie.
"Actually, the party is in Millie's honor. Her birthday is the day after tomorrow."
"I see," said the prince, but he looked confused. "How can you use the food for a party when you're in such dire straits? I understand that you have a large dragon population in Greater Greensward. Don't they carry off your sheep and cattle and burn your crops to the ground with their foul breath?"
Millie giggled, although she didn't think he was the least bit amusing.
"Why, no," she said.
"When I heard about your dragon problem, I knew that Greater Greensward was the place for me. I'm quite an accomplished dragon slayer. I have nearly 50 trophies mounted on the walls of the Great Hall at home. I see that you don't have any," the prince said, looking around.
"We don't," Millie began.
"You must have different dragons in your kingdom than we do back home. I saw a green one on my way here today. I was thinking how well its head would look on my wall, but since your birthday is coming up, I can kill it tomorrow so I can give you the head as a birthday gift."
Millie knew she should be angry at the awful butcher who had unknowingly offered to present her with her own head for her birthday, but all she could do was giggle. The more she thought about it, the more she giggled. When she tried to stop, her face turned red from the effort. King Limelin gave his granddaughter a sharp glance and said to the prince,
"Did I hear you say that you kill dragons?"
"Yes," said the prince. "It's a real shame that no one in your kingdom is brave enough to slay them. The beasts must have been breeding here for some time for the dragon population to grow as large as it has. I've heard from travelers that there are dragon sightings in Greater Greensward every day. You may breathe easy now that I've come to help you with your infestation. I'm sure we'll be able to work out some sort of arrangement for my services. Say, half the kingdom and Princess Millie's hand in marriage. I'll rid you of all the dragons, and of course I get to keep the heads, except for the one I'd give you for your birthday, my dear, he said, turning to Millie. You are quite lovely, you know, and not too overburdened with brains. I think we'll get on very well.
Millie tried to stifle a giggle and ended up gasping. I really don't think...
It would help if you could tell me where the dragon's lairs are located. I could find them myself, but the whole thing would go much faster if I knew where to look.
This time, the urge to giggle was more than Millie could stand. She giggled so hard that she was afraid she might faint for lack of air. I have to go, she wheezed. Although she welcomed Zoe's offer to help her from the room, Millie was unable to make it farther than the corridor outside the great hall, where she let go of Zoe's arm and sank to the floor.
How long until nightfall? She asked.
Zoe shrugged. 8 hours or so. It's summer, Millie, so the days are longer. If you're wondering about the spell, there's no saying when it might end. Your mother was right when she said that the spells she casts on you never work the way she intends.
I wish I could get angry, Millie said, fighting for control. I'd like to turn into a dragon and fry him to a crisp.
And he'd like to chop your head off, Zoe reminded her. I hope neither of you gets your wish. Millie giggled and clapped her hand over her mouth. When the urge had passed, she said in a strangled voice,
I swear I'll never ask my mother to put another spell on me, no matter what. I was foolish to ask her to do it this time.
You weren't foolish, said Zoe, just desperate. But I think we know one thing for sure now. Prince Atworth is not the right one for you.
You can say that again, said Millie.
When Millie was finally calm enough to return to the Great Hall, the mood in the room was very different than it had been at the start of the meal. Her mother's mouth was set in a grim line, and she was looking at the prince as if she wanted to take off his head. Her grandmother was biting her lip and watching King Limelin. Both Millie's father and grandfather were glaring at Atworth.
Ah, there you are, Millie, said the prince. Your grandfather and I were just about to seal our deal.
I beg to differ, young man, said the king. I was just about to tell you to leave my kingdom and never come back. We don't need you to kill any dragons, and even if we did, my granddaughter would not be part of any deal. I suggest you go back to whatever minor kingdom it is that you came from and stay there.
Prince Atworth blinked. For once, he didn't seem to know what to say.
Edric stood and strode the length of the table.
Let me help you out, he said, taking the prince by the arm.
He had dragged the boy from his seat when Atworth planted his feet and said,
You don't have to give me Millie's hand, or even half the kingdom, but would you mind if I stayed to slay a few dragons? You wouldn't have to pay me at all.
Millie was proud of her father when he said, You don't have our permission to hunt so much as a butterfly in Greater Greensward. If you even look as if you are trying to slay a dragon, I will come after you myself.
As will I, shouted King Limelin.
Both Chartreuse and Emma clapped as Edric hustled the prince to the door. He was scarcely out of sight when Emma pushed back her chair. I'm going to the top of the tower to keep an eye on Atworth. When he's out of sight, I'll watch him with my far-seeing ball. If he doesn't move quickly enough to suit me, I'll cast a spell to rid us of him for good. You need not worry about him, Millie, she said, stopping by her daughter's seat.
Are you all right? You look awfully pale.
I'm fine, Millie said and giggled, but I'll feel even better when this spell wears off.
I'm glad I put a limit on it, said Emma. Let's just hope it ends when it's supposed to.